He also said, in the beginning, Lord, you lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. We used to sing, Jésus ne change pas, ne change pas, ne change pas. Jésus ne change pas, no jamais. Jesus never changes, never changes. He's the same yesterday, today. And he loved us in the past. He loved us now, and he's going to love us in the present. So I'm going to be bringing you all about Jesus and what he means to me and what he can mean to you if you'll accept him into your life. And that's why he came, so that you would be accepted. Now, the book of the Hebrews, we don't know who it was. We think it could be Paul. And I've got a few verses here, but we won't get into that too strongly. But the thing is, I believe that it was the Apostle Paul. But it doesn't matter. The important thing, it was inspired by God, and it's for you and me to learn from and to grow. The Word of God says to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's his desire for all of us here this morning. God wants us to grow. And we talked about that this morning, and we're not going to go into that this afternoon. But now, what the setting of Hebrews is that this was written to Jewish people, but it's written to us too. But the primary, the interpretation, not the application. The application is just written to all of us, of course, and it is. That is the interpretation too. But it was mainly written to the Jewish people. Now, the Jewish people did not believe in the Messiah. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They hated Jesus. They disliked Jesus 100%. Now, these Jewish people, they were on the verge. There were some of them that were over here meeting with the Christians, those that believed in Jesus. And there was one foot in the synagogue and one foot in the truth. They were close to making that decision, but they were scared to. They were scared to make that transition from Judaism to Christianity because they would have been hated as Jesus was hated. Now, that's why I spoke to you in all those different languages. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you're from a Hindu background, you're going to say, well, I'm not going to accept Jesus because I will be banished from all of my relatives and all of my friends. Or maybe if you're from the Buddhist background, you're going to say, well, I'm not going to accept Christianity because it's a, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's sort of a North American religion. No, dear friends, you don't have to lose your identity. I have gone to many churches. 71 countries I've been to. I have been to churches where people speak Hindi. I have been to churches where they speak Chinese and Mandarin and Cantonese and Taiwanese and all of them. I've been to Spain. And you don't have to lose your identity. You don't have to lose your customs or your language. All you have to lose and realize that Jesus Christ is the way to God. Now, if you have some religious beliefs, you have to let them aside because they're not founded on the Word of God. But all those other things, sure, you might be hated, but Jesus was hated for you. And Jesus died on the cross for you, even though he was hated. So that's sort of the outline or the what really is going on here in Hebrews. So Paul, or the writer, is writing to these Jewish people, okay? You're with me? And he's writing to you and I. Whether you're from England, whether you're from Ireland, Scotland, doesn't matter. You can keep that funny accent. I shouldn't say that, I get in trouble. But you know what I mean. Or maybe you're from a Chinese background. Well, okay. Sure, you have to leave Buddhism to go to Christianity because Christianity is a relational thing. It's not a religious thing. See, people say, Ron, you're religions. Because I give out Bibles and I talk to people about Jesus and I give out tracts and they're not because I'm religious. That's because I have a relation to the best person in the world, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want to share that with others. I don't want to be egoistic and keep all the blessing to myself. Now, today, for instance, You're going to have trouble. You're going to be confused by so many different things. People will want you to buy here. They want you to buy there. That's what they want you to do. They want you to buy here. They want you to buy there. And these are just some of the things we think. And are you confused? I'm confused. But this is the best buy. This is the best deal. This is. It's like voting, for instance. Right now, we're I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but people say, vote for me. I'm the answer. Vote now. Vote me. Well, this is what was going on in this particular case, too. See, the Jewish people were confused. They didn't understand whether they should accept the beliefs that Jesus was the Messiah or continue in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, under the law. They didn't know that, and they were sort of, yes, no, yeah. And they were back and forth. And Paul said, stop everything. Jesus is superior to all people and things in the universe. And this truth should revelize each day of our life. Jesus is the way. There ain't other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus is superior. Jesus is superior to anybody, anything else. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And we're going to look at that. Jesus is superior because Jesus is the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And this is what he was trying to get across to the Jewish nation. They're still waiting for the Messiah. But I'm telling you, friends, the Messiah has come and he died for your sins and my sins. We need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven of our sins. It says in the Bible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says in the Bible, for the wages of sin is death. But, I love that, but. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. He's the best way. And this is what the writer is trying to get across. This is what the writer is telling us. And the book of Hebrews explains why Jesus is better than anyone or anything else you can imagine. And Paul is saying to the Jewish people, Jesus is God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Believe in him. And you know, they didn't know what foot to dance on. So what they're saying here, that they're better. So let's turn in our Bibles and see what Paul is going to say to us today. You know, because we have the Trinity here. The Bible talks a lot about the Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is part of that Trinity. Jesus is a part of that Trinity. But they're one. And this is what he's trying to get across in Hebrews chapter 1, which we're going to be looking at this morning. He's trying to get this across to them that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God. He's all in one. And the whole concept of the Trinity is fundamental to understand the person of Christ. He's everything. He's all in all. He's complete. And that is so important. So first of all, we find in the chapter here that Christ is better than the prophets. Are you with me? That's what it says here. Here's what it says in the Word of God. Let's look at 1:1. In the past time, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times in various ways. See, he's telling them, he's talking to the Jewish people. That's why he says to our. See, he was a Jewish person, the writer of this. One reason I thought it was, think it's Paul. He was a Jewish, he was in the Sanhedrin. He was one way up in the Jewish religion. And he's getting to his people. He's saying, look, in the past, God spoke to us by way of the prophets. And you know, and he said he spoke by the prophets, for instance, by visions, as you can see. He told them by dreams. And he spoke to them in all of these different ways. But the word I'm trying to get to you here, in the past, this is passé. This is before Christ came into the world, the Jewish people learned from the prophets. And that was very, very important. And we know some of the stories. We know of Jacob. Remember, in a vision, he was laying in bed and God spoke to him through a vision. God spoke through a burning bush, for instance, Moses. And then, of course, we know the beautiful one of another prophet, and that was Elijah. And he spoke in a soft, quiet voice. This is how God spoke to them. Now, God speaks to us today through his word. But he uses the prophets in the Old Testament to teach us about the New Testament. You can't take the Bible and take the Old Testament, the New Testament, rip it out and throw away the old. No. Jesus came, he accomplished the old. But it's there for our learning, for our teaching. And even the Ten Commandments. People say, I don't like the Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments because it gives me a little bit of guidance of what I should do and what I shouldn't do. Now, that doesn't make up me a Christian or not a Christian. It's just God has provided the prophets. He's provided Moses. And all of these people were fantastic in the time. But Jesus is better. That is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And he goes on to tell us, he's going to tell us why. He's going to give us some reason why. Now notice in the Bible there, look in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm not putting all the verses up because we have to work a bit this morning. We have to find it in our Bibles. It says here, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets as many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Jesus is heir of all things. So he's better than the prophets. He's heir of all things. He gives seven reasons why Jesus is better than the prophets. And I appreciate the prophets. I love the Old Testament. So the first reason why the Jewish people should leave the prophets aside and accept Jesus, because he's heir of all things. And the second thing we find here very interesting is, by whom also he made the world. See, Jesus Christ was there. He was the creator of all things. In the physical universe, he was the creator. The prophets were not the creator. Jesus was the creator. So first of all, you Jewish people should leave the old, accept the new. Leave it, but continue believing it. But you got to believe that Jesus is the heir of all things, and he's the creator of the heavens. And you find that way back in Genesis. We won't go into the Hebrew, but it is a plural when it said, let us make man in our own image. How about another thing here? Look what he says here too. Put another one up there. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The prophets aren't. The Son is a radiance of God's glory. This is talking about Jesus. He's the creator of all things. He is the physical manifestation of God. That's why we sing, and I won't sing it to you because you'd all run out of here, but Emmanuel. Emmanuel, when we sing at Christmas time, is God with us. He's the Son of the radiance of God's glory. That means he's God came down in the person of his Son. He was incarnated. And then he's the excellent representative of his being. Now, this comes from the Jewish coin. And they would, the empire of the that time would make a coin, and they would stamp his picture on it, and it would be a perfect, perfect representation of that empire. And what the writer here is saying, that Jesus is the exact representation of his being. That prophets, they don't say that. So that's four reasons. Let's go to another one here. This is so exciting to see all the evidences. sustaining all things by the words of his power. This is Jesus the writer is talking about. Jesus is the superior of all things. He alone has all powerful. We used to say, sing, Jesus can do anything, anything, anything. And that's true. The prophets couldn't do everything. So listen, you Hebrews. Listen, you leave and accept Jesus because Jesus is the sustaining all things by the word of his power. And then let's look at number six. So interesting, number six. Provide purification for sin. This is so important. Jesus is our Redeemer. He personally came to remove the penalty of sin. People say, but Ron, you know, your religion. I said, I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus, but carry on. But you know, your religion, Ron. I said, no, I don't have a religion. I said, I have a relationship. Okay. But listen, it's not fair because Adam sinned. I'm a sinner. Is that right? I said, that's right. But that's not fair. But it is because by one man's sin came into the world. But Jesus Christ came in to blot that out. Jesus was a perfect being. He came. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was here for 33 years. He got his feet dirty. Can you imagine that? Woo! He was sad. He cried. He went through everything you and I have gone through. But he did not sin. The devil tried everything in his power. 40 days and 40 nights he was on the mountaintop. He was weak physically. He hadn't eaten. And God tempted him. Satan tempted him and tempted him. Satan got after him, but he never sinned. And the last one, he sat at the right hand of God. That's right there. Look at that. Look at those verses. Those are awesome verses. Verses 2, 3, 4. So he became as much superior. He's superior. Are you with me? Can you see that Jesus is superior than all the prophets? Yes. But I've got more for you. Because, you know, angelology is the doctrine of angels. And let's go to the next one. The next slide. Jesus is greater than the angels. See, the Hebrew people had a great respect for angels because they do exist. They do exist. Angels do exist. Jesus is greater than the prophets, and he's also greater than the angels. He's greater than Adam's race, the prophets, but also greater than the angels of heaven. Because the people just about worship, the Hebrew people worship the angels just about. Like today, many people worship angels. There's many books in what is called the New Age movement. They just about worship angels. We are not to worship angels. They were servants of God. We are to worship Jesus, God. That's who we are to worship. And that's why he came down and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, angels. What about angels? What is a writer here talking about angels? Angels are God's glorious being, powerful, wise, exalted. However, they are still the servants of the Lord. They are not God. They are not Jesus. They are created to serve. The angels of God are his ministering spirits whom he dispatches to serve, to help, to encourage others. And they're real. They're real. This is their common role, is to serve. And they're there to serve us. They are lower than Jesus. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, of course, it says, when he took on the human nature to redeem the lost, Jesus for a time was made a little lower than the angel. Look at Hebrews 2:7, please. 2:7. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put him everything under his feet. For a time, See, here's Moses. Now, go back to Moses. Moses is there. He's a good guy. He's a prophet, but Jesus is better than Moses. And I thank God for Moses. He gave us the Ten Commandments. But you know, why do I put this one up? Because many, many Jews reverenced angels because they were supernatural creatures. And because they were there when Moses gave the law. Let's just keep your finger there and let's go to Acts just to show you why it was so important that the writer here is trying to tell the Jewish people, the Hebrew Jews that were on the fence and they didn't know which way to go. He's saying, well, look at Jesus is better than the prophets, but he's better than the angels. Also, look in chapter 7, verse 38. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from them. And then verse 50. They replied, are you from Galilee? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come from the... I haven't got the right verse, so I apologize. Oh, I'm in John. No wonder I haven't got it. Sorry. Okay, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 7, 38. 7:38. Here's what it says in the Word of God. This is what Moses who told the Israelites, God will send you a prophet like me from your own people, He was in the assembly in the desert with the angels who spoke to him in Mount Sinai and who are Father, and he received living words to pass on to you. Now down to 53. It says, you who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. So the angels were present when Moses gave the law. God gave the law to Moses, and Moses gave the law to the children of Israel, and the angels were present. And that's why the people reverent the angels. Now, so we have the seven things. We've gone over the seven things about the prophets. Let's just put that up. There. Paul gave seven statements which made Christ superior to the prophets, right? You with me? Now, he quotes seven Old Testament scriptures in Hebrews 1, 4 to 14 as evidence of the superior over the angels. And we're going to take a look at some of these. So Jesus is more powerful, more awesome than the prophets, but he's also more powerful and more awesome than the angels. Paul first quoted from Psalm 2:7, where the Father declares that the Anointed One was his Son. He never said that to us about the angels. Jesus was the Anointed One. He was God's Son anointed. So what he's saying to the Israelites, look at, don't believe in the prophets. We've gone over that. Don't believe in the angels. Jesus is superior than the prophets, and Jesus is superior to the angels. Let's have the next one. Paul also quotes from 2 Samuel 7:14 and so on. And the Lord told David that he would relate to the descendants of on his throne, for example, Solomon, as a father would to his son. Jesus is presented as the Son of the living God. And he uses the example of David and Solomon. And he quotes from the Old Testament. He's saying, I appreciate David. I appreciate Solomon. They were great men. They were our prophets. They were our kings. We have great respect, but Jesus is better than them, is better than the angels. And God never said that about the angels. Let's look at number three. And we have this, and you see, I will be his father and he will be my son. Never did Jesus say that, the Bible say that, God say that, Paul say, anybody say that about the angels. I will be his father and he will be my son. That's talking about Jesus. That's why I love him. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's everything to me. Next one, please. I will be his father and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessors. See, God loved David. He loved Solomon. He loved the prophets. But he loved Jesus more. Let's have the next one. Isn't it? This is right here. Take a look at it. Look at back in Hebrew. You had your finger open there. And he goes on here, and in verse 6, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he said, let all God's angels worship him. Angels are said to worship the Son in the future day, and in the fact is proof of his superior over them. Nobody said worship the angels. I know people that worship angels. They have their little angel here, and there's a little angel on the shoulder, and they just worship the angels. No, we're not to worship the prophets. We're not to worship the angels. He's telling us, and he's telling the Jewish people, worship God. Look what the Word of God says very clearly. Deuteronomy 32:4. Rejoice, you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servant. He will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and people. This is what the Lord says in the Word of God. So he's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. Let's get to the next one. This is so exciting. Who made his angel spirit to minister a flame of fire. God's angels were to minister. We are not to worship them. We are to appreciate that they are ministering. Next slide, please. Psalm 104:4. This verse refers to angels as spirits, which reminds us that the angels are beings God created as his servants to carry out his will. So we are not to worship angels. The Jewish people were not to worship angels. Next slide, please. Then we have in verse 8 and 9, notice verse 8 and 9. But about the Son, he said, your throne, O God. Listen, when people talk to you and say that Jesus isn't God, show them this verse. This is one of the most exciting verses, and I use it not daily, but probably weekly. Look at it. I've got mine in red. I've got it squared off. I've got it colored. And I show it to people. Look, about the Son, God said, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and the righteousness will be the sepulcher of your kingdom. Isn't that something? So Jesus is God. This is evidence of that. Let's have the next one. Paul cites Romans 102. In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like garments, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years are never end. This is talking about our blessed Lord. This is why I say to you, accept Jesus. Buddha, you can't say it about Buddha. You can't. He might have been a good guy. I'm not saying he's not a good fellow. Hey, Francis, hey, he's Argentine. He's a great fella. But we aren't to worship him. We aren't to believe in him. He's just the Pope. Jesus is God. He's the one. Hare Krishna, Buddha, the Pope, Marianne Baker, Joseph Smith, Russell. I could go on all of these people down through the ages who want to be like God. They're not God. We're not to worship the angels. We're not to worship the prophets. We're to worship God because he's for everlasting to everlasting. The Bible tells us, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand that I make your enemies your footstool. He never said that to angels. So who are you going to choose? Remember we started, who are you going to vote for? We didn't tell you who. What are you going to buy? I'm asking you now a more important question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? I hope that you'll believe the Word of God, and I hope you'll worship the Word of God, because Jesus is the way. He is the mediator, and we're to worship no one else. Are you worshiping him, or are you worshiping maybe your work, maybe your house, your car, your family? They're all good things. But we mustn't worship anything but God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is superior. Jesus Christ is superior, and he's the one that we are to worship. He's Emmanuel. He's the Redeemer. Just look at some of the things that he's called. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was baptizing people, and he looked at Jesus and said, "Voici, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." How many masses I've been to, and they hold up the hosty, and the priest will hold up and says, "Here is the Lamb of God," pointing at it. That's not the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. So he's Emmanuel. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. He's the mighty one. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Savior. He's the everlasting Father, Lord of all, bread of life. He's the deliverer. Jesus wants to be all those things for you, but you have to trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. And I've seen many people over the years try other things, people who will worship the prophets. Seven reasons why Jesus is better than the prophets. Worship the angels. Seven quotes from the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is better than the angels. And we can see from these names that Jesus is superior to all. I'm going to be putting away some of my things. I'm in no hurry to leave. If you have any questions after, I'm here for you. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to, because you can see he's better. He's the best. He's awesome. I drive down the road, and I'm sure a lot of people think I'm chupado. Chupado means drunk, because I'm down the road enjoying the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same at his lovely name. You can have that joy. You can have that happiness if you accept Jesus. And if you have Jesus in your heart, let him rule and reign and give him the honor and glory he deserves. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gorgeous Sunday morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this half hour that we've had in the Word this morning, and we just pray that you might help us to reread it at home, to study it, and see why Jesus is better than the prophets, better than the angels. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, you might work through this message, through these verses, and bless each and every one here this morning, and we'll give you the honor and glory that you deserve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful Lord's Day this afternoon.